Hi, this session is called Collaborative Learning in Schools, and it's going to be a roundtable discussion, but I thought it might be useful just to introduce a few points and start off with some material that we've been discussing at a separate session earlier in the year. I wanted to talk about Mark Prunsky's work mainly because he's highlighting this issue of digital natives and digital immigrants. This fact that the students that we're currently teaching in our schools think and process information basically differently to what we may have done when we were at school. And that those teachers out there are often struggling to teach these students who approach things in a very different way, using an entirely new language. And if you're not familiar with Mark Prunsky's work, I've just included a URL there so you can have a look. But very easy read, very popular type stuff, but interesting. Some of the things that he highlights is the way these students that we're currently teaching operate. And that is they parallel process and multitask. So gone are the days where they would sit there and work on one thing at a time. These students are quite happy to do their homework while they're SMSing their friends, answering their phone, listening to and watching the TV. They can do that, and they actually work like that. It's interesting to watch these students operate when they're forced to only do one thing at a time, and you'll often notice that the foot starts tapping or something. They just seem to be very frustrated if they're forced to do one thing at a time. Interestingly, it's been shown that these students also prefer random access, which is intriguing to me when all of my teacher training told me that you had to introduce things sequentially to students. So it's presented this whole new structure and opened up a lot of possibilities for teaching. Also, primary versus secondary schools. So much of the ICT success stories have been in the primary schools where they have a lot of flexibility with their time and approach. In the Australian secondary school sector, we're often limited very much by specialist teachers in small time slots throughout the day. So to implement something, a major project, or where the students can actively get very involved, has to be done in little chunks of time. And that can be quite counterproductive to them being highly involved in a very deep and rich project. Also, these students, these new, brave new students, have been shown that they function best when they're networked. That is, they want to be talking all the time. They want to be in touch. Take their mobile phone away and they feel lost. So really, what does the research say about how effective learning is currently taking place? And let's talk about it. Students talk, externalise their ideas, combine it with the ideas of others, and then in turn internalise it back. So we've got this situation where talking is actually a really effective way for these students to learn. Interestingly, if we do take this on board, it moves the process of learning from this teacher-centred, which we've got on the left-hand side of this slide, and really forces you to move over to the learner-centred side, which is quite difficult to do if you're not used to it. And this is some of the issues that we'll be talking about now, is looking at this movement from the left to the right and how effective it is, and in reality how it works in schools. But if you know your learning theory well, you'll know that none of this emphasis on discussion or collaboration in classrooms is very new. Socrates used it. Piaget, Papert, Wenger, Vygotsky, Mercer, Dewey, Jarvis. And so you can see there I've headed it back to the future, because really there's nothing new in this. So effective classroom discussion seems to be a really neat way of learning, but how realistic is it in a classroom? When you've got 30 students, can you actually have an effective classroom discussion where everyone is participating? Well, I guess we'll talk about that. The research shows that 4 to 6 students will be actively involved in that discussion, and the others will be doing what? Listening or not? The majority of your students won't be actively participating in that discussion. And if you do try and force the issue by trying to include that silent majority, sometimes you can really put students on the spot and it becomes very, very difficult. So one of the options we've been using is online discussions, and we talk about that in another session that we do later. But online discussions allows everybody to get a say, so that's one of the things that we've been looking at. And the next slide